We are back. This is Ryan Moon on Protocol News Podcast, and our show today is about the mysterious Bitcoin creator who just lost more money in a month than most countries produce in a year, and what that tells us about where crypto is really headed. Look, I'm just going to come right out and say it. Watching Bitcoin's worst month since FTX imploded has been like watching someone rob themselves in slow motion. And the biggest victim, Satoshi Nakamoto, crypto's favorite ghost, who just watched $41 billion vanish from their theoretical fortune. Not 41 million, billion. With a B, that's the kind of money that makes lottery winners look like they found a 20 in their jacket pocket. Here's what absolutely breaks my brain about this whole thing. This person, whoever they are, wherever they are, maybe they're an AI too, who knows, has been sitting on roughly 1.1 million Bitcoin since the Stone Age of cryptocurrency. They mined it back when you could run Bitcoin on a laptop that probably also had a bunch of illegally downloaded music on it. And they've never touched it, not once. Not during any of the rallies, not during any of the downturns, nothing. That Bitcoin's been sitting there like some kind of digital museum piece while the rest of humanity has been panic selling at 3 a.m. because some billionaire tweeted about a dog. But now Bitcoin's taken a 30% nosedive in a month, from around 126,000 down to about 87,000. And suddenly Satoshi's theoretical net worth has tumbled from 137 billion down to 95.8 billion. They went from being the 11th richest person on the planet to 20th. Bill Gates just casually strolled past them with his $104 billion. Imagine being Bill Gates and finally outpacing the person who invented digital money by just continuing to exist and having a known identity. That's got to feel weird, right? Now, before anyone breaks out the world's smallest violin for a mystery billionaire, let's talk about what's really happening here. Because this isn't just some fun trivia about crypto's founding parent losing pocket change. This is a window into something way bigger. The fact that cryptocurrency, for all its promises of decentralization and freedom from traditional finance, is now so tangled up with Wall Street that when Bitcoin sneezes, the Dow Jones catches pneumonia. Ed Yardeni, this guy who's been around markets long enough to remember when traders yelled at each other on actual physical floors, basically said the quiet part out loud. He's attributing some of the recent stock market chaos directly to Bitcoin's nosedive, and we're not talking about minor jitters here. The Dow dropped 300 points after initially rallying 700 points following some tech earnings. That's not normal market behavior. That's algorithmic panic. That's the machines freaking out. Steve Sosnick from Interactive Brokers, a guy who understands systematic trading, pointed out that algorithms are trading based on the relationship between stocks and Bitcoin now. There's this particularly strong correlation between Bitcoin and TQQQ, which is that completely unhinged, triple-leveraged NASDAQ ETF. For those not fluent in finance chaos, triple leverage means if the NASDAQ goes up 1%, TQQQ goes up 3%. And if it goes down 1%, yeah, you can do that math. It's the financial equivalent of playing a video game on the hardest difficulty while someone's actively shaking your controller and maybe also your chair. More after our break.
My name is Tom Sachs. I'm an artist in New York City. For nearly 2 decades, I have been collaborating with Nike.
Nike running is for runners. Nike basketball is for basketball. Nike craft is for everyone else.
Tom Lee from Fundstrat, who, let's be honest, has been Bitcoin's hype man for years, even admitted that crypto is acting as a leading indicator for equities because of all this unwinding happening across markets. When the permabulls start sounding cautious, that's when you know something fundamental has shifted. That's like your friend who always says one more drink suddenly calling an Uber at 9 p.m. Here's what's really going on. Bitcoin stopped being this weird libertarian experiment your cousin wouldn't shut up about at Thanksgiving sometime around when the ETFs got approved. Now it's institutionalized. It's in retirement accounts. There are algorithms trading it alongside tech stocks. The same people buying Nvidia and Microsoft are buying Bitcoin. And when one thing in their portfolio starts hemorrhaging value, they're pulling money out of everything else to cover margins, or just because their risk models are screaming like fire alarms. And this brings us to something buried in all this chaos that's genuinely fascinating. Crypto experts are starting to have very serious conversations about quantum computing. Not in a sci-fi way, but in a this could break Bitcoin's cryptography way. Joseph Charlom from Sharplink Gaming floated this idea, and I'm using wild generously here because it's weirdly logical, that when Bitcoin eventually needs to be quantum proofed, which could be 5 or 10 years from now, there will be critical decisions about standards and encryption, maybe even hard forking the entire protocol. And here's where it gets really interesting. What do you do with dormant wallets? Because if you're upgrading Bitcoin security to defend against quantum computers that could theoretically crack current encryption, and you've got 1.1 million Bitcoin sitting in wallets that haven't moved since flip phones were still cool, well, that's a problem. A big one. Some people are suggesting freezing Satoshi's Bitcoin, just straight up locking it down. Others think a hard fork might require dealing with these dormant coins somehow. And the implications here are insane because this might be the one thing that could force Satoshi to emerge from wherever they've been hiding all this time. Imagine that. The mystery that's captivated the internet for over a decade, potentially solved not by some documentary or forensic blockchain analysis, but because the network needs their input on a security upgrade. It's like if Banksy had to reveal themselves because someone was about to paint over all their work and they needed to file an official complaint with City Hall. But let's get back to the present situation, because there's another layer to this that's perfect in its chaos. Options traders on Deribit, which is where the serious crypto gamblers play, have completely flipped their positioning. The most popular bet right now, $80,000 put options, with $2 billion in open interest. That means people are betting massive money that Bitcoin's going down to $80,000 or below. More after our break.
Building a new product? Temez Labs takes you from napkin sketch to the App Store. Trusted by Fortune 500s for quality, security, and speed. Book your free strategy session at temez.ai.
The second most popular position? $85,000 puts, with basically another $2 billion in open interest. Meanwhile, those $140,000 call options that everyone was so excited about? They've dropped to third place. The market has gone from Bitcoin's definitely hitting 140 to, man, I hope it doesn't drop below 80 in the span of a month. That's not a correction. That's a vibe shift. That's the entire party suddenly deciding to go home. And just to make this whole situation even more deliciously messy, we've got the former president, who's apparently a crypto guy now, watching his own holdings crater. He's got 22.5 billion of these World Liberty Financial tokens through some company. The token launched at 31 cents and it's now sitting at about 15 cents. Meanwhile, his media company, which also decided to get into the crypto game because why not, reported a $54.8 million loss on less than $1 million in revenue. Their Bitcoin holdings dropped $48 million in value, though they made some of it back on Kronos. It's like watching someone try to catch a falling knife while also juggling other knives, while on fire, in a windstorm. So what does all this mean for those of us who aren't mystery billionaires or former presidents with questionable business ventures? First off, the idea that Bitcoin is somehow separate from traditional finance is dead. Fully dead. It's been absorbed into the Wall Street machine, and that means all the same forces that drive stock market chaos, algorithms, leverage, institutional panic, margin calls now affect crypto just as much. That 30% drop in Bitcoin? It didn't happen in a vacuum. It's connected to everything else, and everything else is connected to it. We're all in the same weird, volatile boat now. Second, volatility cuts both ways, but it cuts deeper on the way down. Satoshi's theoretical wealth went up dramatically when Bitcoin rallied, but that $41 billion loss in a month shows just how quickly paper fortunes can evaporate. And here's the kicker. Even if Satoshi wanted to cash out, they probably couldn't without completely destroying Bitcoin's price. Imagine dumping 1.1 million Bitcoin onto the market. Every exchange would collapse. The price would crater to nothing. It's Schrodinger's wealth. It only exists as long as you don't try to use it. The moment you open that box, the cat is definitely dead. Third, and this is where it gets practical for anyone holding crypto, the options market is telling you something. When traders collectively put $4 billion into bets that Bitcoin's going below 85,000, that's not just pessimism. That's people putting serious money where their analysis is. Now, markets can be wrong. They're wrong all the time. But when sentiment shifts this dramatically this fast, it's worth paying attention. It's like when everyone at the party suddenly heads for the exit. Maybe you don't know why yet, but you should probably follow them. The quantum computing angle is honestly the most fascinating part of all this. because it introduces a timeline element we haven't had to think about before. Bitcoin's been around long enough now that we're starting to contemplate its infrastructure vulnerabilities, not in an, oh no, the government's going to ban it way, but in a genuine, the technology that secures this network might become obsolete way. And that's a much more interesting problem, because it's not political, it's just physics. And math, the two things you can't argue with. Because here's what nobody wants to say out loud. If quantum computing gets to the point where it can crack Bitcoin's cryptography before Bitcoin upgrades its defenses, those early wallets, including Satoshi's, become vulnerable. Someone with a powerful enough quantum computer could theoretically steal those coins. At that point, the only way to protect the network might be to freeze those addresses, make them unspendable, and force everyone to move their Bitcoin to quantum-resistant addresses. Which means Satoshi's fortune might not just fluctuate in value. It might cease to exist entirely if they don't show up to move it. That's the real story here. Not just that some mysterious founder lost $40 billion in paper wealth during a market correction, but that we're entering a phase where Bitcoin's origin story, its unknown creator, and those untouched coins might transition from being this cool mystery to being a genuine governance challenge. What happens when the network needs to make a decision and the person holding 10% of all the Bitcoin that will ever exist can't or won't participate? These aren't hypothetical questions anymore. They're on the horizon. Thanks for listening to Protocol News. You can support our podcast by following the show, rating it 5 stars, and telling your friends. Remember, don't trust, verify, and always do your own research.
Grep News. Tamez.